for me personally, I would really want to see in the future. And those are found four qualities. One is hope. The second is defiance. The third one is belief. And the fourth one was patience. And we live in a world where things are hopefully for free. Essences can be, but you've got to want them, because you can't buy patience. But I can invite patience to live in me if I can give it space inside.
Throughout history, the great questions have been asked, and great research has been undertaken, always expanding the territory of the known by shining a light into the unknown. Where is that cutting edge today? And can a community of people from all over the world, each carrying their own unique journey of discovery, come together to inquire at the edge of purposeful evolution through conversation? At Portals of Perception, we think it is possible, and we hope that you will choose to be a part of this exploration.
We are proposing that from the beginning of time, when humans first realized that they were human, we started to imagine the future. And right from the get-go, we discovered that we can plan, anticipate, respond to needs, and do whatever we can do to make the next hour, the next day, a little better. And so Portals of Perception set out to create a series of events called Co-Creating Humanity's Future. These were Zoom events which included attendees from across the globe coming together around these ideas and questions. During these events, there were breakout rooms and smaller discussion groups that allowed an interactive experience not possible to share on the podcast. But some of this experience can be captured by seeing all the faces on the videos available on the website portalsofperception.org. And so today we want to introduce a simple question, which is, what holds us back from imagining and creating the future? Join us for foray one of co-creating humanity's future.
Welcome to Portals of Perception, and welcome to co-creating humanity's future. What makes today especially thrilling for me is that we get four next generation leaders to convene and host today together with me, with Forrest Wilson, Ofer Dotan, Ari Levari, and Fionn Wright. And as the day unfolds, the process unfolds, we'll bring them on camera and spotlight them, and they will have their segment. Also, in just the last few days on the run-up today, we started to realize that co-creating humanity's future is a bigger theme than just a name for one event on November 13. And we are realizing that may want to become a theme for the coming year. So we already are setting in motion. Today's the first foray, and we're looking to do the second foray on Saturday, January 8th. So to begin the year with a second foray, and then possibly the middle of February. There is also the sense that there may be some who will be interested to develop a more intensive engagement and hold space and go deeper on the 24 different facets of co-creating a humanity's future and become some kind of a portals, port of awareness. And when we feel and get word that there is sufficient interest, we can facilitate that. So I wanted to see this right at the beginning. With that, let me offer a few grounding comments on today's flow. We begin with a few welcoming words, and right from that, we will proceed to create space, to make space. And right there, there is the idea that actually to co-create the future, we first need to make space inside of which we can co-create a future where the new future that we are seeking to encourage can emerge with us. So I will introduce a very simple space-making, space-creating practice right at the beginning. And then, building on that, Forrest Wilson will come and offer us a way to sense the future right here, right now, today. A sense that the future is not just out there, but is actually emerging with us in the moment. And building on that, Ofer Dotan will bring us this idea of communicating inside co-creating, and will guide us to the first round in rooms, which will be for about 7 minutes in rooms of three, where the invitation will be to sense the qualities, the attributes you want to, we each want to bring to the future. This is an interesting one, because often when you ask people to imagine the future, there is a tendency to first go out, talk about geopolitics, how will we re-architect the economy, and all those very important things. However, in today's approach, we actually want to make the invitation to start first on the inside, in the interior space, before we invite also the exterior. And when we come back from the rooms and share and harvest some of what appeared in the rooms, we will then have Ari Levari guiding us to this idea of living into paradoxes and recognizing that the future, by definition, will emerge, is emerging through paradoxes. And Fionn Wright will build on this to the idea of diversity and unity, and will also then guide us into the next round in rooms. 14 minutes, we'll see where we are on the timeline. Maybe we can make it 16 minutes, where the invitation this time in groups of four will be to imagine and co-create 2036, so 15 years into the future. This is part of the Create New Futures modality, where we place ourselves at some specific horizon in the future. In this case, we're choosing the 15 years, a little more than what people typically envision. People often envision 5 or 10. So we said, let's do the 15 years, stretch our imagination. And the idea is we place ourselves there, and then we begin to work backward to create that future. Today, when we come back from the rooms, from that second round, we will create here in the collective space. Imagine that future, and we'll have some quiet time with Paul's music to meditate, to contemplate, to write about what arises with you in the moment into that future. And we'll ground the last 10 minutes in really celebrating the collective presence and bringing a few voices who may choose to declare a practice you want to take on the bridge from here through the end of the year and to our second foray into co-creating humanity's future on January 8th. So that's the flow, that's the plan for today. And so therefore, let me begin with the simplest, most foundational awareness as we look to explore today. We are proposing that from the beginning of time, really from the beginning of times, when humans realized that they were humans, we started to imagine the future. And right from the get-go, we discovered that we can plan, anticipate, respond to needs, do whatever we can do to make the next hour, the next day, a little better. And indeed, admittedly, in the early stages of humanity, more in response to natural conditions. But quite quickly, as humanity evolved, this idea that we truly have the power to co-create, to shape the environment, and that within that, the recognition that it is so natural for us to yearn for a better tomorrow, to yearn for something for ourselves that's different, to yearn for our children, to yearn for next generations, for something that will be different and better. And so that recognition that we actually have the power to imagine and think about today and think through today into tomorrow and beyond is so central to who we are as humans and is really part of the essence of our humanness, that sense of we can anticipate tomorrow. And so what today is about, today is about reclaiming and giving ourselves again the permission to imagine. To imagine what world we want to co-create for ourselves, for our children, for next generation, for the world at large. Actually daring to claim that permission. And so because of that, I want to introduce a simple question for us to reflect on, which is what holds us back from imagining and creating the future? And I will propose that the first thing that holds us back is that we are crowded. We're crowded with noise from all the devices around us, from the all media channels, from expectations from ourselves and everybody else, from the bureaucracy of life. We're very crowded. And we need to learn to push back and actually make space, create space. And secondly, I propose that what holds us back is that we give in to disbelief. We become cynical about ourselves and about life and about what can be. And do you know, there was a recent global study with 10,000 people, that's a large study, ages 15 to 25. And the data generated in that study is shockingly powerful. More than half people, the ages of 15 to 25, don't believe humanity has a future. They think the human experiment does not have a future. 8 out of 10 are frightened or depressed about the future. More than half say that impacts them already in their everyday, in how they feel about themselves, in their ability to concentrate and to learn and to play and to have fun. This, my friends, has never happened in the course of history. Based on my conversations with my father, who escaped Europe during the Second World War as a youngster in that age. And this is a crisis in the climate of the human spirit. And the climate of the human spirit is a more urgent, more important crisis than even planetary climate. The climate of the human spirit and our ability to respond to it ultimately will define our capacity to respond to all the other dozen civilizational crises that we may be facing. So I feel very personal about this. I feel ferociously defiant that this has to stop. This decline in the human spirit must stop right here, right now with us. We must in ourselves embody this idea of reclaiming the permission to believe in ourselves. I feel defiant and powerful for this from myself and on behalf of my 2-year young granddaughter, Talia. I want Talia to grow up in a world where young people can dare to imagine and dream a better future. And so anybody here, or if you know anybody who is unsure, uncertain whether their life is important or meaningful, please say to them today, you matter, you're important, you have to believe in yourself. And friends, we all have difficult days. I have difficult days too. But if today you feel down and you don't have enough fortitude to believe in yourself, I ask you to consider the following. Perhaps you can find the fortitude to believe in yourself, if not for yourself, for the children of the world, so that they get to grow up in a world where young people are allowed to dream and believe in themselves. Which leads me to the third thing that holds us back from imagining and creating the future. We're afraid that if we try to do something, we will fail. And we are afraid Even more so that if we try to do something that we will be successful, that we will actually discover how powerful, how creative, how imaginative we are, and that we will then have to take responsibility for that great power that we bring to the table. So today we must learn to trust life. Trust that life shows up fully equipped. And so because of that, because of this idea of creating space, believing in ourselves, and trusting life, I want to do one more thing here with you. And I want to invite you to do a little experiment with me. Because if you were to bring your two hands here together, and because we need to bring to the future we are co-creating more than just our heads, more than just talking heads, more than just words on a slide. We need to bring the whole person. So I want you to bring for a minute your two hands. And if you practice this for a moment, you'll feel the energy in between your two hands. Because what we are, and I know some people may feel strange. What is this strange thing we're doing? And trust me on this, we are here to give a signal to the community within, the whole person, that we want the whole person to become part of the future. So right here, as you feel the energy getting denser between your hands, that's how crowded we become. And I ask you to now push back and exhale and make space. Gently make space as you exhale. Let's try it one more time. Let yourself feel the energy in between your two hands. And as you inhale, now make space and exhale. Okay, one more last time. Let yourself feel the energy in between your hands and get some fresh oxygen to the brain. And now let's make space as you exhale. And now as you bring the hands together, let yourself touch top of your fingers. Just gently, press gently. And that's our way of saying, I'm here, I believe in me. I'm here, I believe in me. So let's do this one more time. We're pushing for space and exhaling. And gently pressing and saying to ourselves, I'm here, I believe in me. And as you hold your two thumbs, you gently rest your hands and say, I trust life. I trust life. I know that life comes fully equipped. We all are going to be fully supported. All is well. So one last time. This is where we feel that we are crowded. And we exhale and push for space. And we bring our fingers together. And we acknowledge to ourselves, I'm here. I believe in me. And I trust life. Thank you. If at any point during the day you feel for any reason deflated or overwhelmed, this is a very simple thing to do to get yourself regrounded. And now I would like to make a space to bring a few voices to offer three words of what comes alive for you in this co-creative space. And Paul is going to give us 40 seconds of music to just sense what comes alive for you in this co-creative space as we push for space to begin to sense to the future. And we'll bring a few voices. When you're ready, you can show with your hands, and we'll bring you into the proceeding. Begin with Vine, please. Three words to describe what comes alive for you in this space, please, Vine.
Hello, Aviv. The words that came up was freedom of choice.
Thank you. Howard, please.
I didn't know about the three words, but what came is to let my guard down. There's no need to be clever, nor convincing anyone.
Thank you. Elena, please.
The first word that came in was love, followed closely by appreciation and belief.
Thank you. And please, Marianne.
Hello, Aviv. Belief, settlement, and inspiration.
Let's get a few more voices. Please, Jerry.
Finding new centers.
Finding new
centers.
Centers. Thank you.
Centers to spin around.
Thank you. Please, Emmy.
Hello, everyone. Trust in assistance.
Thank you. And please, Kiriki.
Okay. Hello, everyone. The three words are unity, uniqueness, urgency.
Thank you. Denise, you'll be the last on this round, please.
Hi, I'm sorry. I dropped off for a moment. You are enough.
Thank you. And with that, let me please invite Forrest Wilson to lead us into whatever it is you're going to lead us into, Forrest, please.
Thanks, Aviv. Wow. Thank you, everyone. It is wonderful to be with you and see all of your beautiful faces. Somehow my face is now taking up my whole computer screen, so I'm going to switch to gallery so I can see all of you. Okay. Sensing into our emerging future in this moment. Well, for starters, how are we going to do that? Let's see. For starters, it helps to get a little bit more present. So I don't know if anybody else here is feeling a lot of energy right now, but I'll just presence that my body is vibrating at the moment. So maybe I can just take a breath and we can all take a breath and arrive a little bit more fully into this space together. It's quite the topic, quite the inquiry we've all decided to venture in together today, co-creating the future of humanity. And there are so many different ways we could go about being in this question. As I've been sitting in this question and feeling into this gathering, been playing with many different perspectives, so many different ways that we could think about how do we want to co-create the future of humanity together. And I also find myself asking the question, what is not thought? And I just invite everyone to become aware that we've all gathered here today for a reason maybe we can articulate or maybe we can't. And just become aware that we've all gathered to wander into the world that we want to create, the world that exists inside each of us and all of us together in our hearts. And just become aware that everyone on this call, all over planet Earth, exists inside of your awareness. And knowing that everyone on this call exists inside of your awareness, we might send each other a little bit of love through the field, connecting us all. And you also might notice if you can feel the love coming to you from everyone else, sending it in this moment. And just that connection we all have to each other, even as we sit here on a computer, that we can feel each other and be felt by each other right now. And in this field that connects us all, I just want to invite all of our ancestors in to be here with us. We can feel grateful for all of those who've gotten us here to be together now. And as we continue welcoming in our ancestors, we can invite in the planet and all of humanity and all of life into our shared field here together. And we can all just take a breath, feeling grateful for all that is, all of life and our planet. And finally, I want to invite in our forecestors, the children, grandchildren, many generations to come into this field, connecting all of us. Invite everyone to open up your mind and your body and your being into deep receptivity and feel the gratitude our forecestors have for us gathering today to be in this question together. And just let the appreciation of the generations to come for each of us being here, wondering into what kind of future we want to create for them to live in. Feel their appreciation pouring into you that we've gathered here today to wander into the world that we want to create for them to live in. So here we are together with our ancestors and our forecestors, the past and the future with us here now. How do we want to be with each other in the world, knowing that we're creating the world for our forecestors in this moment? What ways of being do we want to embody as we move through life? Maybe we can just take another couple of breaths. And I invite everyone in your mind and your body and your being to open just 1% more. And I'll just share my deep, deep, deep gratitude to each of you for being here It's an honor and a privilege to be here with you today. Thank you.
Thank you, Forrest. And please, Ofer.
Oh, it's quite of a party we have with our forecasters and ancestors and us in the middle of it. And when I kind of trying to sense into this territory, first I thought about all the things that I don't want in the future, because for me, I'm working in policy and with organizations to shed away some of the things that we don't want in the future, or how to prevent all of the wrongs that are there. And that very much led me to think, okay, that's thought in the negative, but definitely there are some things that could help me if I go into that future, or qualities and attributes that I would like to carry on, because they could serve this emerging future, this better, hopeful future that we want to create. And so I think in this taking responsibility over this co-creating future, and by not shying away from it, by appreciating each one of us being kind of like a lighthouse that is able to send a lot of light and guidance to their surrounding in some way. What do I want to take into that? And I would like to invite all of us now to kind of contemplate on this question. So we will go to breakout rooms for 7 minutes and do a short exercise of contemplating on a stem. So there is a kind of a sentence to get us going. And this question is now on the screen, so you can all read it. The qualities and attributes I take with me to the future are. And we will now be in small groups. And it's kind of like we can gather a basket of good that we can take with us to the next. And let's start collect those things that we want to see in this emerging future.
Thank you, Ofer. And we are all back here in the main room. And we want to bring forward a few voices to share a distillation of a feeling, sentiment, essence of what is arising and what you've experienced in the room. So please, let's see, showing of hands. We'll start with you, Sus, please.
I met two friends, and it was great to just get together, even for a very short while. For 7 minutes, we could spend more time, but I wanted to just offer a few qualities for me personally I would really want to see in the future. And those are four qualities. One is hope. The second is defiance. The third one is belief. And the fourth one was patience. And we live in a world where things are hopefully for free. Essences can be, but you've got to want them, because you can't buy patience. But I can invite patience to live in me if I can give it space inside. So that's a controversial thing already, because in this world, it's hard to see any patterns of things being given for free. But I would say that the first one is hope for the, because if, unless there is hope for young people in the future, their future is undirected and uninspired. So I would really want to see hope as an ever-ending, non-ending quality in the future. And I'm aware of the fact that in these times, I must house hope myself to give it on to the next generations.
The one that we landed on last seems the most powerful, respect.
The most striking thing was, well, firstly, what came up in me came up really quickly, like I didn't need to think about it. But in the discussion, I realized all of the things that were spoken of, like trust, consistency, freedom to play, they seem like really tiny things, but they're actually huge if we can stick with them and grow them. Kind of needed a different way of thinking to my usual and really imagining a different future from small beginnings into most powerful essences.
Now let me invite now Ari to come forward to the spotlighted area and lead us into the ideas you want to share with us, Ari Navari, please.
Hi, everyone. That's funny that there are two Aris. Nice to meet you, other Ari, wherever you may be. Well, thanks, everyone. I'm so grateful to be here with all of you. And I'm going to talk a little bit about paradox. Before this event, some of us met to think through what this experience might look like. In these meetings, we began to notice a reoccurring theme throughout our conversations. And the theme was paradox. So I noticed we were saying a lot of yes ands. So like, we need to spend time envisioning the futures we want to live in. Yes. And we also realize that the future is unknowable and clinging to any specific vision doesn't make sense. So we are autonomous agents capable of shaping the future. Yes. And we are products of our environment and none of our actions are truly ours alone. So I started realizing that, like, just as in the movies, time travel, whether through wormholes or through conversations, tends to lead to paradox. So for the next few minutes, I just want to share a few paradox-related ideas that I've been exploring, that I've been holding as some open inquiries, and hopefully they will spark something within you. So while contemplating the future, we might try adopting what I've come to think of as the paradox mindset. So to explore this mindset, let's quickly revisit one of the paradoxes I mentioned earlier, which boils down to two true statements. So one, we have some control over the future. But then two, by clinging to the need for control, we undermine the futures we're trying to create. So take a brief moment to notice what arises in you as you contemplate this idea. I'm going to say it one more time. So we have some control over the future versus by clinging to a need for control, we undermine the futures we're trying to create. So just close your eyes and feel what arises in you as you try and navigate your way between those two ideas. So as you start feeling into that, you might notice some measure of uncertainty, of discomfort, right? Or you might find yourself jumping to a quick solution, like, oh, this isn't really a paradox. Ari clearly didn't think this example through very well. Something like that. But, you know, our brains crave answers, right? So what is the paradox mindset? Well, I'd say it begins with noticing this discomfort and desire for certainty, but then not letting your mind jump to an immediate solution and finding a sense of curiosity and openness within that uncertainty. So the paradox mindset, as I've been thinking about it, has two main components. So the first is really a deep sense of not knowing. As a friend of mine once said, it's like a commitment to holding our truths lightly, realizing that no matter how clear our conceptualization of reality is, we're only ever perceiving a slice of it, and vast truths will always remain hidden. So that's the first component of the paradox mindset. And the second one answers how to proceed once this deep feeling of not knowing enters our bodies and our minds. And it involves a commitment to what I'm going to call playful action. So playful action, as I'm envisioning it, entails a call and a response. So we call out into the unknown and the unknowable, and then we listen for a response. And when the response comes, we meet it and we adjust our next call, trying to harmonize, to create melody and create coherence where none was before. And this is the way nature works, right? It tries something new, some novel mutation, and then a multitude of living creatures provide a response, allowing the change, the mutation, to either propagate and thrive or to fade away. This is also the way science ideally works, right? We ask a question of reality, we listen for its answer, and then we revise better questions, all while realizing that the ongoing experimentation itself is what's sacred, not one specific outcome of that experiment. So when we're faced with the unknown, the paradox mindset suggests we start by probing, questioning, and playfully prodding, not for the sake of finding any specific answer, but with the intention of engaging in a beautiful conversation, song, or dance with the world and its inhabitants. So that's the paradox mindset, a deep sense of not knowing paired with that commitment towards playful action as you participate in the unfolding song that you and this world are co-creating. And then I'm just going to end by saying that as I was going through this exploration, I realized that the paradoxes tend to birth more paradoxes, right? So it's easy to come to the conclusion that to bring about a more beautiful future, we need everyone to, as I said, like hold their truths lightly, you know, to mimic nature, to be conscious co-creators, all that fun stuff. And while this is true and is a worthwhile way to try living, it's also true that we need people with many different orientations and different degrees of certainty, people who hold their truths fiercely, not lightly. Sometimes change comes through slow organic evolution. Other times it comes through cataclysmic shifts or fierce impulsive action. So I'm just going to leave you with a few questions. How can we encourage humanity to embrace the paradox mindset and begin a path of conscious evolution while still holding space for the conservative talk show host or the woke liberal Instagram influencer? Pick your poison. How can we engage in playful action when so many in this world have forgotten how to play? And how can we approach those who have forgotten how to play, not with condescension, but with the realization that they might hold the key to unlocking the next level of this game we're all playing together? And with those questions in mind, I'd love to pass it off to Fionn for an exploration of how some specific paradoxes might unfold in our future, and maybe see if you can fully embrace the unknown and step into the paradox mindset, or don't. Maybe dash off a couple of tweets about this experience and snap a pic for Instagram or something. We all have a role to play no matter where you're at. So just embrace it and let yourself shine. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Ari, for that paradoxical expression of paradoxes. My mind is spinning in all different directions. I'd like to invite everyone to bring their awareness down a little bit into their body. From all that spinning of the trying to figure out rationally how paradoxes work, down into just taking a deep breath, noticing your heartbeat in your chest, noticing gravity pulling you down, grounding you to the earth, noticing the temperature of the room around you, the sounds you can hear, from the sound of my voice to the sounds of your environment, to that which you can see from whatever screen you have in front of you, to your peripheral vision, just opening up your senses. And with that, if you're comfortable, I'd like to invite you to close your eyes. I'd like to guide you through a bit of an experience of exploring potential paradoxes and welcoming in the vast diversity that exists, as well as, paradoxically, unity in all of our experiences. So as you're noticing the different sensations in your body, what it's like to be in the present moment, I invite you to zoom down to the very smallest level, the atomic, the subatomic, where the very energy field of life comes from, and to just notice what it's like to bring your attention, your awareness, down to the inside of yourself, of our world, of our universe, and to see how that has evolved over time from the moment of the Big Bang and the explosion of the elements out into possibility that came into shape, into form with galaxies and stars and planets. And that there was this one very special planet that bore life in a variety, in a diversity of forms. And that life complexified, evolved organically, grew, changed, adapted to its environment, adapted to the constantly evolving environment, and that over time, through millions of years, consciousness became more and more refined, the beings on this planet we call Earth came into an understanding of their place in the universe, our place in the universe, and to notice that ours is one perceptual lens of many species that we share this planet with, and to notice how over time, as humans grew and evolved and flourished, the impact that we had on this planet, the impact we are having on this planet, and to notice how each and every one of us contributes in some small way to some form of impact, both on our natural world and on humanity as a whole, and how that contribution, that manifestation of our own individual awareness out into the world, has a specific essence, how each and every one of us has some value to bring, something unique, something special, and how in every moment of every day, there's an opportunity for us to bring that, for us to live that, for us to manifest that. And so now in this gathering of almost 100 people, I'd like you to imagine that we are unified, almost as if we're standing in a circle. I know we're all over the planet in our own individual rooms, but to imagine for a second that we're standing, holding hands, and looking into the center. And in the center is the potential future of humanity, that each and every one of us can bring our attention, bring our care, bring our awareness to the emerging future that is coming into being. And to notice that even though we may be in a circle and looking at what might seem like a similar object, everyone sees it in slightly different ways. We all have our own individual perceptual filters, our own beliefs, our own understandings, our own viewpoints, our own worldviews, and that there's beauty and perfection in every single one of those, and that those as a whole bring to the surface, bring to the fore, a beautiful garden of possibilities to arise, but that that garden is unified in its beauty, in its diversity. And so as we bring our awareness to the emerging future, having come all the way from the Big Bang to this moment in time, I invite you to jump a little bit further, perhaps 15 years in the future, and to open up to the possibility of what could be. What would you hope for our future? What could you imagine as a possibility that you would like to see come into being on this planet with our species, for humanity, with humanity, by humanity? What can you see? What can you hear? What can you feel? What can you touch? And just allow to arise in your awareness that each and every person on this call can see something slightly different, hears a different resonance, feels a different sensation, can touch something uniquely theirs. And yet unified as a whole, we have the potential, the possibility to bring an entirely new form into being and to invite ourselves to do just that. So if you can slowly start to bring yourself back into your body, take a deep breath, slowly start to open up your eyes again. And Aviv will put on the screen a prompt, a stem that we can all imagine into. It is November 2036, and what fills me with hope about our world is, and I look forward to exploring with all of you together those hopes.
We're going to stay here for 60 seconds with Paul, giving us some music to stay with this stem from Fionn, and then we will find ourselves in a second round of rooms with four, or in rooms with four people, and for 12 minutes. And we are all here back in the main room, and we are ready to build on your discovery conversations in the room, each in your room. And I'm going to bring this one slide, and we want to build on this idea that Fionn led us into of imagining that we are in that future. It is 2036. And we would invite that we actually speak into that space, and that we bring our voices to imagine some of the inner qualities and some of what we imagine in the world. And I'd ask that we stay in that future space, in that future perfect, if my grammar is correct, and describe that and practice brevity so we can get to hear from as many voices as we can. If you are one of those people that never speak in a meeting with 70 people because you think maybe I don't have something to contribute, perhaps we actually need to hear your voice and what it is you imagine for the future. You can't go wrong in this exercise. We are all breathing into this future discovery. So we want to hear from you. One of the discoveries in the Create New Futures practice, where we dare to imagine into the future, is in the beginning, it's difficult because we are so, as we said, anchored in the here and now. But once we begin to dialogue about the future, we imagine possibilities and experience an influx of energy and excitement and empowerment. That's radical. We will begin with Ali, please.
Hello, everyone. What struck me about this and what came to me was imagining a world where we are living in community with our fellow humans and with nature, a future where we are focused on not on acquisition of goods and just things, but on creating space for all of us to exist and be. And a future where we all have the freedom and the resources to pursue our dreams and our passions without the fear and pressure of having to earn a living. I believe that no being has to earn the right to exist in this world. And I hope that we can transition away from that model. And I think this happens through a return to love and a return to generosity and the spirit of gift giving and a transition away from fear. And I hope that we can found a community based on everyone's mutual well-being. That's all. Thank you.
In 2036, I imagine a world where it will be more common understanding between human beings of what is important to this space and time in the universe, the planet Earth, that is. I imagine a more conductive atmosphere where everything would show its truth, what it actually is, without pretending or lying about. And what I imagine is possible in this world is to have more compassion and humanity in practice and coming together because of what we have in common, our sameness, and not what separates us. That's it.
Just some reflection. I think we need to listen more to the other people, to the other voices, what they really need, and try to don't do things just for our own personal gain. Like we want to do, like it's just an example, we want to do some charity activity, but probably it's because it's our own ego to to satisfy our own ego that do this kind of thing. So we have just to really look into ourselves and see what I'm doing is for my own ego or because I really want to do this. But it can be both, but there is a paradox in this. But even if you do by your own ego, but if you can do something good, it's still okay. It's a paradox, but it's still okay because you can do something good. The important that you don't like you feel better than other people, you know, better than other ones. And we need to listen more. And by listening more, we can understand what the other people want. And in this way, we can share our voices and find a common ground if it's possible. Sometimes it's not possible, but we can find some compromise and make our world better. That's it. Thank you so much.
I imagine a world where there's a value for kindness. And one of the things that I use to get me to keep thinking about that is to think about mankind or humankind and reverse that to kind man or kind human.
Yeah, thank you. I want to say first to Alex that he was a fantastic communicator and the message was really clear cut. And it was great to hear, not put ourselves down for that. And I will say the same thing that for me in a different way, different words, to become a good listener is to become responsible for the future of all of us. And what I would like really to see in the future is like the very effective guided meditation from Fionn, that in this circle that we're all looking, we have the opportunity for a few seconds, even for a minute, to be in the center, to be able to listen to many, many voices from all around us as humans on this time, here and now, but for a minute, to take the feedback and to be able to be in the empathy, to feel more what is being, to be in a responsible position, because being in the center is a responsibility to listen to all. And then another person go to the center, and the all others try to communicate and the person to listen and to feel. And from this, the sharing experience, then we all become responsible. And what you share in between us is a responsibility to be both ways. So the paradox of being a leader and a follower or being in the center on doing side work somehow be released and we'll join a future that we can change roles. And with a playful action, we're flowing. That's from me. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. As well as being in strong support of the visions that I've already heard and seen from the people who've spoken, I'm imagining a world in 2036 where the value and gratitude and love for the planet and for having been given life on the planet within the greater universe, where that value and that gratitude is so strong and so central in human beings. It's going to be a matter of honor and a matter of pride for each individual and for each city, each locality, each government, each country. It's going to be an utter matter of honor to give back more than you take, not only to conserve resources, not only to endeavor to do no harm, even though that is going to be accepted strong platform, but to endeavor to actively promote and increase the well-being of the planet and the ecology that each one of us finds ourselves in.
Hello, everyone. It is wonderful to hear all these visions from the future. It is 2036, and I imagine a world where humanity recognizes itself as a whole, as one. Humans recognize the fact that all humans are part of one humanity, and the common sameness is the basis for our ways of life, and the differences are secondary. What I imagine is possible in this world is that humans create a universal economy in which God and creation are recognized as the shareholders, which means that humans are aware that our life is not only planetary, but there is something beyond that. And we use our energies for that, to invest in that and to give value to that. Human life is here for a certain amount of time, but it reflects into a greater economy of universal context. And that's what I imagine.
Hopefully this is the right microphone.
Yes.
Okay. Small victories. Two outers, one inner. So it's November 2036. And what fills me with hope is that now for young children, there's processes going on every day for them, similar to what we've been with today. So that young children are given an active part in, with their specific and unique gifts of still being open without so much noise, to make space for the future that needs to happen. The second going on that fills me with hope in 2036 now is that some of the mental and emotional scientists have run a survey, and children now have less nightmares and there's less depression, and they now can envision a bright future for themselves. And part of the reason for that is the adults of the world have stopped over leveraging the emotional power of children in a way that's harmful. Instead, they're now channeling those energies into the envisioning process rather than commercials or catastrophe. And the inner, and I'll say one thing that fills me with hope is I look into the future and I see at 81, I'm still kicking around on the planet. And that I've built an even greater kind of inner chamber. And I've carried in a greater kindness and a greater courtesy to my fellow humans, to the planet, and to those things which have given us a life.
Okay. We are 7 minutes before the top of the hour. So, Lisa, what I will ask is if we can spotlight Forrest, Ofer, Fionn, and Ari together with me here. And we still will take Agnes, hear from you, but then I want to... We can hear from Agnes briefly, and then I want to leave the closing few moments for our co-conveners, please.
Okay. I'm looking at the environment where I am, and if young children, young people today cannot see hope, cannot envision the hope which we inspire them to vision, and I'm asking myself, 2036, what will happen for them? So I take it upon myself and I say, I might not do everything, but the little I can do to make a change to 1, 2, 3, and for them to have hope and to see me as a source of inspiration, it gives me a challenge and gives me a zeal to continue working for them. So I believe the few will be passionate and ready to respond to what I'm giving, then I can visualize 2036, a brighter future for them. So that is my responsibility. I don't look at who is not doing what or who is not doing what he's supposed to do, but what is my contribution to the greater humanity.
Thank you, Agnes. And if we can have, please, in the spotlighted area, Fionn and Forrest and Ari and Ofer. Well, any thoughts from you about celebrating our collective presence here in the 2036, all the way back to today? Please.
I'd love to jump in here and just go, we're already doing it. Let's do it. This call today with everyone has just been so inspirational. I'm touched so deeply by what everyone has shared. And even those who didn't get a chance to share, just being on the call, being part of those groups, that contribution, that presence, that awareness on this topic fills me with hope for our future. And it's precisely this, that is needed more and more. Like Paul was mentioning, can we get our children to do this? Right? Can we bring more people into these spaces to ask these questions, to imagine these futures? And the more we do that, the more we make it more likely that this comes to fruition and that we make it a reality. So thank you so much, everyone, for coming and being here with us today. And I look forward to much, much more of this.
And we are so appreciative that you are with us at 2 or 3 in the morning in Shanghai, China, and that you include this continent into this collective. Thank you so very much. Please, Forrest, I think.
Yeah, sure. Just thank you, everyone. Thank you so much for coming and for being here and bringing your loving presence and your heart. It's just been such a joy with you and to be with you. And if no one's told you yet today, I just want you to know I love you and you're a gift. Keep shining. It's an honor to be in your presence.
I'm just really excited to be taking what feels like a small step, but one that has a lot of momentum behind it with all of you. And I think we're climbing up quite a big hill here, but for the first time in quite some time, I feel like it's well within our reach to get to the top of it. So thanks for inspiring me to feel that way.
I will just add that what I see in 2036 is that I look around and it feels right. And it feels right because humans are managing to express and be their full potentiality, and that we let go of clinging to what is holding us back from being creative and playful and diving into whatever it is that wants to be expressed in a way, and having so many different channels to express it. And it was great to be in this space with you and start kind of allowing ourselves to imagine and to kind of walk into this future right now. So thank you.
Thank you. And thank you all for your presence, your generosity, your mindful consideration of a 2036 world that we are co-creating today and playing in this co-creative space. So no more words from me today. Forrest will drop into the chat line a link with a form that you can populate with asks and whatever you want to offer. There will be a link, an email with several links coming your way later today. First of all, saying thank you for being here in the space with us and inviting you to really mobilize the conversation and invite others. We want to engage in the next foray building on today on January 8th. And the sense of this, as we just heard from so many of you, rekindling the belief that we can imagine, that we have the power to co-create the future right here, right now. And we want to invite all generations, the 20 plus, the 30 plus, the 40 plus, all the way to the 90 plus. They all have part to play. One of the convictions is that we want this to be a multi-generational gifting, multi-generational co-creation. So thank you again. And with that, I'll invite Aud to play us some music. I don't know, Aud, if you're going to play live, if you're going to sing us into this next period, or you're going to play music. The room is going to stay open for 10 or 15 minutes, or as long as people want to stay here. Still be in this space if you want to meditate, if you want to write for yourself thoughts, if you want to etch in your memory your conviction about 2036, do so together in this collective space with music. So please, we do want to do this little ceremony of bringing all your voices into the space to say good evening, good day, good morning, hello, just so we bring all the voices at the close of today. Please, let's all unmute and greet each other.
Thanks, everyone.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, thank you.
Bye.
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 Thank you
so much.
Bye. 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 Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Portals of Perception. If you're enjoying these dialogues, we'd love it if you'd leave a rating and a review at ratethispodcast.com/portals. Visit portalsofperception.org for exclusive content. Please share this episode with a friend and be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.